Linebacker Matt Millen joins us on Sports Byline USA. 12 years of the National Football League with Oakland, San Francisco, and Washington. And Millen played and won a Super Bowl ring with each of the three teams that he played on. And Matt, when I think about your 12 years in the National Football League, you remind me of the consummate linebacker. You had the personality, you had the demeanor of a linebacker. Did you approach the game that way? Do you think you had that defined personality of a linebacker?
Oh, heck, it was out of survival, Ronnie. You know how that goes. You just, it was just, you fill the role that's there to be filled. And when I went to the Raiders, it was a role that needed, that required you to be physical. You needed to be in control and take charge of the defense. It was a role that, you know, that demanded leadership. And so that's the role that you filled. And then you just don't know any different. And so then that's just kind of the way you played. And then I went on to San Francisco, and while they required similar traits, they needed a physicality brought to the position, which I was able to provide. But on the leadership side, I didn't have to fill that role since it was Ronnie Lott's team, and so that's fine. Then you just find your way there. And then, you know, my last year in Washington, it was different requirements, and so I think as a player, you bring whatever you have as a skill set, and then whatever is needed or required within that group, then you can apply them. And if they're not needed, you don't need to apply them.
Let me ask you about each of the organizations that you played for: Oakland, San Francisco, and Washington. Obviously, Al Davis, the dominating personality there. San Francisco with Bill Walsh, Eddie DeBartolo, and then Washington as well. Talk to me about each of them and how they were different and how they might be similar.
Well, you know, and I'm going to include a fourth one here with Joe Paterno at Penn State. And each and every one of those places that I was fortunate enough to attend and be part of those groups, they were all led by real strong people. You know, Coach Paterno, and then Al Davis, and Bill Walsh. And, of course, Bill had retired the year before I got there, but he was there. And it was all of his underpinnings in that organization, and then Joe Gibbs. So all four of them had strengths. All of them had great vision. They knew what they wanted. They were very specific. They were all strong personalities, and they all were very committed to doing the way they wanted it done. They coached their coaches hard, and they got the personnel that they wanted. All were successful. The similarities were different, and where the similarities lied was really within their personalities. You know, all of them were control guys, and in those positions, you need to be. I think probably more so on the collegiate level more than anything, because you have guys who don't really know who they are yet, and just kind of finding out what they are as athletes and as people. And then I think at the next level, you can bring guys along, and some guys obviously mature a little bit faster than others. But I think the differences really lied in their personalities, because organizationally and structurally, there were really strong similarities.
Tell me about that fourth organization, Penn State and Joe Paterno.
Joe Paterno was, you know, at times when you'd be when I'd read things from afar, you'd say, "Ah, that's too good to believe." But the fact was that it was that good. And I think back to my dealings with Coach Paterno, both while I was there and then when I was away from there. What Joe did a great job of was he taught perspective, and then he was very real about, and that was one of the qualities that all of them had, was very real about your approach to the game and, you know, what it means and all that, those type of things. And all the things that have been said about him positively, I can tell you they were true. Now, he wasn't flawless. I mean, like I said, he was a control freak, and that's fine. And he had his ways and things that he wanted done. And everybody, nobody is without flaws. But as far as being as close to perfect's not the right word, but being as close to doing it completely the right way, I think Joe probably got as close as anybody ever has. To me, it's John Wooden and Joe Paterno, they kind of run the same level.
You know, Matt, when I think about the four men that were instrumental with all four of those organizations, Al Davis, Bill Walsh, even though he, as you said, he had retired, but still was a very big figure in that organization, then Joe Gibbs with Washington and Joe Paterno, all of them had a single-mindedness about them and their football. They understood the game very, very well. But I sense also that all of them knew how to push the buttons on their players to get the maximum out of them. Am I correct in that observation?
Yeah, that's a great point. Because here, and I think this is a point to remember. I think the best, we always have to remember that although it's a game, it's not about the X's and O's. It's about the people. It's still a people business. And in order to be successful, you have to be able to recognize the strengths and weaknesses of a person, and then you have to accentuate their strengths. And then you have to be able to lead that person. And all of those guys did that very well. And then I was also influenced very heavily by another Hall of Fame coach, and that's John Madden. And I think John Madden might be the best reader of people that I've ever been around. He is just in a class by himself. He understands people. He can motivate people. He's very, very bright. So I have been extremely fortunate to have been around some really good people.
Any of us that got to know John Madden, as you did and as I did as well, I think the consistency with John was that he was consistent. Whatever he was, he never changed in order to make somebody either like him or do what he thought might have to be done in order to get him to do it. And I think if you think about him in a broadcasting way, as well as a coaching way, I still remember the story about him the first time he went through a rehearsal for CBS is that the first time they talked in his ear, he answered him on the air.
Yeah, I have great respect for John, and I still speak to him. And in fact, after Coach Paterno passed, I called John because I said, Coach, all my coaches are going. Al Davis is gone, and Joe Paterno's gone, and holy smokes, I said, I hope you're not going anywhere. And we kind of laughed, and then we talked about it. But he has been the one thing about John that maybe people don't really know, John Madden might be one of the brightest people I've ever met. He is extremely smart, and he doesn't want you to know it. He kind of wants you to think he's like a big lapdog, but he's not. That guy is one of the brightest people I've ever been around. I've enjoyed my friendship with him.
And, you know, the other thing to think about, Matt, is that he coached a team of renegades. I think that's probably the best way to put it. And he was the youngest coach in the National Football League at about 32 years old when he took over. But yet, with all those divergent personalities, he was able to bring it all together. What was the magic about him as a coach?
His ability to be able to know people. And his ability to be able to identify strengths and weaknesses like we spoke about before. And he wasn't afraid to let somebody be themselves as long as they performed. And I think as time went on, our Raider teams, they played up that renegade stuff more in the press, and it became maybe a little bit more than it actually was. Now, there were some characters, don't get me wrong. But those teams, when they showed up to practice, they practiced hard. And when they played hard. And again, that's the influence of Al Davis and John Madden. Tom Flores was no slouch either. Now, don't forget, Tom Flores won two Super Bowls, and everybody forgets about him.
Let me take you back to Pennsylvania. How much of what Matt Millen was as a football player and as a person did the influence of growing up in Whitehall, Pennsylvania, just outside of Allentown?
Well, Hockendockel, Pennsylvania, that never leaves you. And I've always said what you are off the field is what you are on the field. And so if you're a guy who's a detailed guy off the field, you'll be a detailed guy on the field. If you're a guy who cuts corners off the field, you do the same thing on the field. And so pretty much when you're watching a disciplined player, you're watching a disciplined person. And you're watching a guy who's kind of loafs and does stuff like that, you'll see the same thing off the field. And so all the things that I've learned, in terms of being a player, that's just accumulation of your life's experiences. And I grew up with seven sisters and four brothers, so it was you got a piece of meat when you spit on it, and then you had to question it. So that's still the way you play.
We got about 30 seconds before we have to break here, but I've often said that I think people and teams take on the personality of the area now. Pennsylvania, steel mills, type of towns and everything. Indeed, was that the case with you as you grew up and also Allentown?
Yeah, and Hockendock was just 7 miles north of Allentown. It's right near Bethlehem Steel, and it's all the cement mills. So it's all just old mills, and it's, you know, it's just a hard-working town. It's very much like Pittsburgh on the other side.
Matt Millen has joined us on Sports Byline USA, played linebacker in the National Football League for 12 years, 9 of those 12 with Oakland, and also a couple with San Francisco before finishing up with Washington. But all three of those teams, he came away with a Super Bowl championship. We continue on Sports Byline.